Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
That that is the role of UWF in this region. That strong collaboration is already present in this community. It's very clear. I've had the opportunity to have a statewide view and been in other communities, and the worst thing that you can have is apathy, right? And that clearly is not the case here. And so that's an exciting opportunity, I think, for all of us to take on those challenges.
UWF Interim President Manny Diaz yesterday at a Pensacola Chamber of Commerce luncheon talking about education, along with Superintendents Keith Leonard and Karen Barber, and Ed Meadows, the president of PSC, and a woman whose name you probably not heard, Caroline Waters. She is from Columbia Southern University. She's the chief relations officer there. They're talking about education. It was very interesting. These were the opening remarks that President Diaz made.
So much has changed in the landscape with education, even over the last 5 years nationwide, especially here in Florida. Parents are no longer satisfied with being told what school to go to because of the address they have at the K-12 level. And that is something that higher ed has always had to deal with. And I think that that's increased the competition. And I know that our superintendents are standing up to that challenge. And it really makes all of us better. It makes the options better.
Yeah, it's really kind of interesting because when he was in the Senate, of course, he was part of the push to expand vouchers and make it possible for the competition to exist, which, you know, sent students fleeing from public schools. We're down 10% in enrollment across the board over the last, 5 years, I think it is. And it's the reason that they're in financial trouble in some cases. You know, Escambia County is now raising the school board, raising taxes in order to offset that loss of revenue. But you know, we've talked about this many times, but Manny Diaz, you know, as former commissioner of education, now president at UWF, at least interim, and again, one of the people who helped promote vouchers when he was in the Senate, he believes in competition. I believe in competition. You know, more delivery mechanisms, more platforms, and it shows, because even Keith Leonard, you've heard him talk about the need to compete and, you know, to change what we do in the public school system in order to, you know, keep up with the times. It's this long-standing thing that critics of the, you know, just massive education system have said is what you get when you have a monopoly is high prices and low quality. What you get when you have competition is low prices and high quality, because there's an alternative and people can vote with their feet, or in this case, you know, vote with their kids' feet and the money. And so I think this is going to be a really good thing for public education in the long run, as long as public education makes the adaptation. But he said something I thought it was very interesting that I had not thought of before. And as somebody who, you know, used to teach and loves education and believes in the value of it and the significance of it, I mean, how else do you produce future citizens? He made a comment that I thought was particularly interesting about the relationship between the layers or levels of education, K-12 and university in particular.
Part of my view when I was Commissioner of Education is that we needed to erase the line between the K-12 system, early learning, the K-12 system, our state college system, and the university system. It really needs to be one system that works together to serve our students and to serve our economy. And so our mission is twofold. Whatever we can do together, whether it's research or just bridging the gap and connecting business partners, community leaders, elected officials to industry, to bring industry into this community that's appropriate, right, that fits the community. And on the other side, then it's our mission to create that pipeline workforce. And so that has to start. It starts as early as middle school now, unbelievably, but that's where students start to explore.
This is so right, especially university, okay? And he actually acknowledged this later in his remarks that universities have tended to think very arrogantly, we know what we're doing, we've done it a long time, we are the standard bearers for education, and if you don't like it, well, tough. And that's not a great approach to the future, because people are asking very serious questions about student debt and the value of the product they're getting. And is it really effective? Is it driven by things that are going to make my life richer? Or is it driven by things that are going to, you know, suck the life out of me, like wokeism? You know, is it really going to do what it's purporting to do for me for the cost that it's demanding from me? good questions. And what he's saying is, you know, we need to get all of the school system integrated together to be producing an outcome that the employers of the world want, that the citizens of the community want, and thinking about, you know, kindergarten, first and second grade, all the way through higher education as one coherent thing, as opposed to sort of a hodgepodge that we hope in the end puts it all together and maybe hasn't adapted all that well to changing times. Now, that's not a great approach.
How do we address the challenges that are coming around the curve? Not what's just happening today, but how do we look around the curve to see what we can be doing together? And if you pool your resources with all of the educational institutions that exist in the community, you're able to make those strides. And if you sit down and listen to community leaders and business leaders and leaders of industry, then you're able to make those decisions based on what's coming around and what's going to be a need for the community. The last thing you want to do is to fall behind and try to be playing catch-up.
Absolutely. Anyway, I was yesterday at the Chamber of Commerce luncheon around education. Manny Diaz, interim president of UWF. Coming up in just a moment, why is Cracker Barrel being celebrated by Brother Andrew? We'll tell you in just a second. John Pickens is here with Traffic on the Fives. Good to have you back, sir.
Thank you. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, all through those construction zones are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Building-related illnesses. We get a lot of calls for this. Who do you know that is sick from the building they're in? Hi, this is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. Building-related illness symptoms include coughing, sneezing, headaches, itchy, watery eyes, and a host of breathing problems. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we have the solution. We can inspect, clean, and treat your AC system so you'll feel great. If you have dust issues or health problems that you feel are related to your home or office building, you should give us a call. We'll share the tips and secrets you need to know for a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. Gulf Coast Air Care is at 850-934-2768. Our service will extend the life of your air conditioner and your system will be much more energy efficient too. Let us help you by cleaning the most neglected system in your home or workplace.
At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com.
Hit it, Sarah.
Serious cleaning, Gulf Coast Air Care.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking? 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts. And 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get beach time and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Seminole fans, your chance to win tickets to Florida State University home games is coming soon. Right here on News Radio 92.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
All Our first remembrance is for the old Cracker Barrel logo. After this week's unveiling of the new and improved logo, which is both more visually clean and aesthetically simplified. For those of you who have never had authentic imitation Southern food like chicken fried steak or chicken and dumplings served with a side dish of collard greens and a game of oversized checkers, the original logo featured an elderly man in overalls reclining on a wooden chair, leaning casually against a large wooden barrel with the words Cracker Barrel in brown script inside a bean-shaped ellipsoid with the phrase Old Country Store beneath. The new logo has only the words Cracker Barrel in black simplified script inside a yellow hexagon with rounded corners, and we don't like it. We love it. First of all, we, the members of the First United Church of Wokenism, always love any decision which separates people from the comfortable traditions of the past and imposes upon them newer, uglier, less interesting icons. Separating people from the forms they're accustomed to is one of our key methods for destroying the continuity of culture. This is very similar to the move away from classical types of architecture with their intricacy, meaning, character, and aesthetic complexity toward our wokenist architecture, or what some people have lovingly called brutalism, whose only goals are simplicity, functionality, and making you feel like you just ate wheatgrass with your eyes. But if you really want to know whether this was a good move or not, just consider who is upset about it. The same people criticizing this splendidly mundane redesign are the same ones who wanted to keep, and pardon me for saying these hurtful words to you, Aunt Jemima, the Land O'Lakes squaw, and the Washington Redskins logo. Well, if those people hate it, we extra doublethink love it. But just consider what else this new logo accomplishes. They've erased the old man, Uncle Herschel. That means Cracker Barrel is now gender inclusive. They've erased the barrel, a confusing image from a bygone era that probably only made Gen Z kids wonder what life was all about. And they've dropped the slogan Old Country Store, which did nothing but make non-old people feel uncomfortable and gave the impression that rural values are better than urban values, which we all know is just code for white supremacy culture. But speaking of white supremacy culture, as we so often do, are they seriously still going to call it Cracker Barrel? This is the only thing they really got wrong. Going with the black script, excellent anti-racism. Ditching the vestiges of the overalls-clad patriarchy, nice work. But why didn't you complete the conversion to inoffensiveness by simply calling it the barrel for all people? The only thing left to eliminate would be that awful ableist peg game that only serves to make people feel bad about themselves when they can't solve it. Yes, we love the new logo, which is the pinnacle of blandness. It's as flavor-free as the gravy always was. It's a perfect complement to the interior decor redesign, which transforms the old lattice and antiques look into a modern, inoffensive, cream-colored cafeteria style, finally jettisoning all those terrible reminders of a former United States in which the self-reliant farmer wore snowshoes, trapped game, cooked on a cast-iron skillet, used primitive tools to build his own house, and owned livestock. Have you ever thought about just how much of the old decor was either offensive or dangerous? Children invited to play games at an open fireplace? Mounted deer trophies? Rusty saw blades with no safety case or warning label? Dangerous kerosene lamps right on the table? And random guns mounted over the hearth? No. No. None of this was good. We want people to forget they were ever strong, independent country folk, capable of handling their own problems and growing their own produce, and we certainly don't want to remind them of a time when they were not dependent on government and their phones for virtually everything in their lives. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, Governor Ron DeSantis and the Florida Department of Transportation for removing rainbow street art from crosswalks in Orlando, including outside the Pulse nightclub, and for telling other municipalities they have to do the same by September 3rd.
And we've just discovered that the Florida Department of Transportation, in the middle of the night, ripped the rainbow colors off of this city crosswalk. They illegally vandalized city property.
This all follows a June 30th memo from FDOT to local governments warning them that if they don't remove all non-standard traffic control and street markings, they risk losing state infrastructure funding.
And I cannot believe that the DeSantis administration has engaged in this hostile act against the city of Orlando.
The letter specifically warned local governments against having any surface art that is associated with social, political, or ideological messages or images and does not serve the purposes of traffic control. This would include non-message-driven art, creative bike lane markings, and all manner of interesting street murals, including even the now-faded Black Lives Matter mural on A Street in Pensacola. Now, I'll be honest here. We find ourselves a little conflicted on this subject. On the one hand, we know it's evil because DeSantis likes it. That much is easy. Of course, it's also obviously an effort to silence and remarginalize all people of the holy acronym string and all people of color. Of course, I mean brown and black, not red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Certainly, if state police were removing images of the American flag, the military, or some other patriotic or conservative content, we'd be thrilled by it. But on the other hand, the stated reason for this blackwashing of our streets is public safety due to the less reliable road surface, visual distractions for drivers, and information that can confuse autonomous vehicles whose safe operation depends on standardized street markings. And we surely do believe that if something saves even just one life, especially those most cherished of human lives, the pedestrian and the urban non-motorized bicyclist, then it's worth doing. Nevertheless, we are adamantly on the side of those who want to retain the glorious celebration of alternative lifestyles and minority rights which are represented so prominently across Florida in these colorful streetscapes. Whose streets? Our streets. Whose crosswalks? Gay crosswalks. Nuff said. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to recognize the fantastic woke being done in Great Britain by awarding the UK this week's floating tambourine of terrificness with 5 hemp tassels and a single cowbell. This award has been earned most specifically by the brilliant policing done at Dalton in Furness during a protest outside the construction site of a proposed mosque. Among the other relatively unnoteworthy messages being chanted, one man uttered what can only be described as possibly the most blood-curdling, most threatening, most vile and chilling comment this theologian has ever been forced to experience. Now keep in mind, I'm only sharing this with you so you can understand the swift police action to remove this man in handcuffs from the protest before things spiraled out of control. I want you to be sure that you're ready before we proceed. Brace yourselves. This is strong stuff. Yes. This filthy, disgusting excuse for a Briton actually said out loud, in a sing-song voice, "We love bacon." I know, I'm sorry. It was probably a bad idea for me to even play that horrid, wicked, vile commentary. Certainly you can see why the police had to arrest the man immediately. After all, no person standing outside a proposed site of Islamic worship, Allah be praised, should have to endure such obscene filth. But this is only one incident in a much larger context that we want to extra celebrate. England has been working on a law called the Employment Rights Bill, which recently passed second reading in the House of Lords, that would make it illegal for an employer to allow their employees to endure harassment by anyone, including customers. This brilliant bill actually makes it a crime for a pub owner to knowingly stand by and allow a customer to say anything within earshot of a bartender or server which that employee finds offensive, even if it's not directed at the employee, and that includes jokes and jests. In other words, employers are now responsible for making sure their employees never encounter any speech which hurts their feelings or offends them while at the workplace, clearly setting the bar for punishable speech at the level of whatever bothers someone else. And what could bother, say, a Muslim construction worker more than hearing some contemptible bully sing out his personal affection for consuming cured non-halal meats? We see you, Britain. We celebrate you, Britain, and we adore the way you are raising up a whole generation of citizens whose most highly refined skill is the artful talent for finding things to take offense at. We cherish the idea of a future in which personal woundedness can finally become the ultimate differentiator between acceptable and unacceptable speech acts. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Just be sure when you give them the holy virtue signal, you use
all the fingers.
That's right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
I'm hungry for some bacon right now. I need some good
How
bacon.
Dare you, sir?
I know.
How dare you? That's a true story,
that.
By the way. I never make these things up. That's a real story. A guy got arrested at a protest outside of a proposed mosque site for yelling, "We love bacon."
Wow.
One time. Go on.
All right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Seeing some minor delays if you are southbound on Highway 29 approaching 9 Mile Road. Just some minor delays in that area. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you're working on a construction project, you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware. If you're repairing a minor issue in the home, Pensacola Hardware. Wherever you are, anywhere on that scale, These are your experts. They know how to do it. They've been doing it for 174 years, seriously, since 1851. The oldest business in the entire state of Florida. And part of that is a commitment not just to having the best products, which is true. I mean, they may not have the cheapest product. It's true. But sometimes cheapest over the long haul isn't cheapest. You know what I mean? Like, if you got to replace it three times and you would have only had to buy the other thing one time, is it worth it if it's half the price? No, you spent more, right? And you had to deal with the problem over and over again. So they're much more interested in quality products and making sure you know how to use them properly, caring that you get the end result you're looking for. That's true whether you're a professional in construction or you're just a homeowner who's repairing something. Talk to them, ask them a question. They're the experts, and they can help you with it. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Do have our headlines today. Space Force X-37B, the space plane, was launched into low Earth orbit yesterday. The plane lifted off late Thursday from the Kennedy Space Center. The Space Force not offering a lot of details about this mission. SpaceX ended its webcast shortly after the booster rocket got back to Earth. Apparently, it's called the Orbital Test Vehicle and includes classified military technology.
How do you know?
Such as laser communications and quantum inertial sensors, whatever those are.
Oh, I just bought three the other day.
On
there,
Amazon?
No, there was a deal.
It Prime two-day delivery?
On quantum inertial sensors. Yeah, it was, I've been really looking for those.
Buy one, get one?
My squeaky table. Yeah, they're great. David, thanks for the update.
News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. California Governor Gavin Newsom signing the Election Rigging Response Act, setting up a special election to redraw congressional maps.
We're responding to what occurred in Texas. We're neutralizing what occurred, and we're giving the American people a fair chance.
Texas is looking to pick up five more red seats in the midterms with their maps. Eric Menendez denied parole yesterday after a marathon 10-hour hearing and will likely not be eligible to apply again for 3 years. Parole Commissioner Robert Barton citing the 54-year-old's prison behavior.
Barton told Menendez he was not a model prisoner, listing his prison violations, including inappropriate behavior with visitors, drug smuggling, and helping other inmates commit tax fraud.
That's Fox's Jill Nato. His brother Eric has his parole hearing today. The two were convicted of the murders of their parents in 1989. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies at 76 degrees. Of course, we'll have more on our forecast here in just a few minutes. State Senator Joe Gruters could be named today as the chair of the Republican National Committee. Florida Republicans say it's exciting to have somebody from our state leading at a national level.
You know, having somebody like Senator Gruters take that to Washington and replicate that in battleground states and in other states where we can introduce the conservative message, I think it's a great thing for the party.
And that's Tony Figueroa, the president of the Young Republicans in Miami, and he says it shows how important the state has become on a national level. Gruters is running for the seat unopposed, current chair Michael Whatley stepping down to run for a U.S. Senate seat. Hurricane Aaron sparing Florida's coast. Officials in Volusia County were bracing yesterday for impact from the storm, but there was no property damage reported. A county spokesperson says that the new berm that they built there performed as intended and new vegetation held up. It did impact wildlife. The turtle patrol there said 50 sea turtle nests were destroyed. The company that hired a driver involved in a deadly crash in St. Lucie County could face consequences. Governor Ron DeSantis on Fox News last night discussing last week's crash on the Florida Turnpike, where an illegal immigrant drove a tractor trailer and made an illegal U-turn, causing a crash that killed three people. The governor said Florida plans to go after the company that employed that driver, although he didn't offer any details on that. Senator Rick Scott accusing China of turning its fishing practices into a weapon. He said he and Alabama Republican Senator Katie Britt sent a letter yesterday to Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. They asked him to address China's illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. Scott and Britt say that China is the world's leader in illegally harvesting wild-caught fish. The senators say it undermines U.S. workers, threatens national security, devastates the environment, and perpetuates gross human rights abuses. Scott and Britt want to see a total ban on seafood imports from China. A 23-year-old man facing charges for allegedly abusing two kids as he was working as a nanny. The two kids are nonverbal, both 4 years old. Police say the children had extensive injuries consistent with blunt force trauma. Diamond L. Bailey was arrested and charged with two counts of aggravated child abuse yesterday in Santa Rosa County. He's being held in the Santa Rosa jail on $5,000 bond. Now, Escambia County grappling with a child care crisis. More than 400 kids waiting for spots in the school readiness program. Bruce Watson from the Early Learning Coalition.
Right now, most of the child care workers, particularly the ones coming in off the street for first-time employment, 18 to 20 years old, are making minimum wage. And minimum wage just don't cut it. Minimum is still well below federal poverty level. And until all that balances out, we're going to have a hard time competing for people to do the work.
Watson says parents are opting out of applying for the program because they know they'll have to be on a wait list. He says without an urgent solution, the future of the program looks bleak. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, even through the construction zones, are flowing smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays on Highway 90 in Milton as you approach Avalon Boulevard going westbound. But other than that, things look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. It is 76 degrees here in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, 74 in Milton. Our next news at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were a little changed this morning as investors await Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell's speech at Jackson Hole. The 10-year Treasury yield rose less than one basis point at 4.337%. The 2-year Treasury yield was also less than a basis point higher at 3.795%. Highmark Health, the Pittsburgh-based parent company of Highmark Insurance and Allegheny Health Network, posted operating income of $121 million through the first half of the year, with solid performances from its main divisions. That's a marked decline, though, from the same time in 2024, when Highmark reported a $307 million operating gain. Shares of Chinese electric car maker NIO surged more than 9% after the company unveiled one of the most affordable vehicles yet, underscoring the fierce price war in the domestic market. The company has unveiled its latest ES8 SUV, aggressively priced at $43,000. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Florida State football's coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games, plus weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
All right, I know it's early in the day to do this. At least for most people, it's early in the day. For us, we've been up for 3 hours, so, you know, whatever. But it's early in the day to throw some of these words at you. But here goes. We're going to play new word game. You ready? You ready, John? I know you've been sick. You've had the flu. Right. You've been out. You're barely back. You're barely alive with us now. I'm glad you are.
Thank you.
But, you know, you have kids. So
right.
You hear some of these words. You've heard the word. These are new words in the Cambridge Dictionary. Skibbity.
Skibbity.
You've heard skibbity, right? Oh, you haven't heard skibbity?
I think so.
Skibbity is a word that has no clear meaning. It can be used to be good, to be bad.
I don't know that one.
Delulu, you've heard delulu?
No.
That's just short for delusional. Yeah, it's because it takes too much time to say delusional, so we say delulu. You've heard tradwife? Do you read the internet?
I do, and I've got a 17-year-old.
Trad wives are, you know, traditional roles for women wives, right? They believe in being homemakers, and they do a lot of these online influencer-type videos of them cooking and cleaning and primping and preening and looking good for their man. And, you know, trad wives, that's kind of the idea. And this is one I had not heard, but I like it. Broligarchy?
No, I haven't heard that one.
That's like the tech bros kind of concept, you know, like the men running these multi-billion-dollar companies and running the world through their, you know.
And these are all now in the dictionary.
These are all in the Cambridge Dictionary. So that's, literally English words, not just English in the generic sense of being, you know, words that people who speak that language, but England, okay? A Luke is a particular style, fashion, you know. He's got a Luke, L-E-W-K, like a play on the word look. He's got a look. He's got a Luke. I don't get that one.
Why can't we just say the real words?
Yes, same. Although, in fairness, our generation had a lot of ridiculous, stupid words and pronunciations of those words.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Every generation does it. Okay, well, I just thought it would be interesting to tell you some of the other words that have come into the Cambridge Dictionary or ones that they're considering. Because what I did is I thought, man, I wonder what else they're looking at. These articles always give you their favorite six. And then I was curious, well, what else are they looking at? Well, they actually, Cambridge Dictionary has a very interesting, these are the three words we're looking at this week. And it actually has a chance for you to vote on all of these words. It's kind of funny. It'll say, like, for example, one of the words that they were looking at most recently is technofossil as a potential word. Mm-hmm. A technofossil is an object that could remain on Earth for a very long period after it's been thrown away and is likely to be found and studied by people in the future. So you might throw an iPod or, you know, your iWatch or, you know, I don't know, earbuds, you know, while we still have external devices and they're not just implanted in our forehead, you know, at birth or whatever. But, you know, that's the idea of it. And so they're asking people, should technofossil be added to the dictionary? And then you vote. Yes, I've heard or read this word a lot, as in, is it gaining popularity? Definitely not. Let's wait and see. Maybe people will start using it. And, you know, those are kind of the alternatives. Some of the other words, snackable, it's not food. It's content made into small digestible bits for people with short attention spans. So TikTok presents snackable videos.
Wow.
Would be kind of the idea.
I didn't know I was getting an education today.
I know. This is not just these terms are kind of interesting, but it's also which ones have you heard? I had heard Tradwife, Skibbity, unfortunately, and Delulu, and everything else on this list was new to me, too. Let's see.
What about bussin'?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's out. That's already.
Oh, okay.
Widely enough,
they
you know. Right.
He uses that all the time.
Mouse jiggler. No, it is neither a fishing implement or an adult toy. It's. It sounds like that, though, doesn't it? You know? If they sold mouse jigglers at that store. Which could be like the Bass Pro Shops, or it could also be, you know, on the Davis Highway or Navy. What were you going to say, David? I thought David jumped in there. Did you say something?
No, I just
you
caught my attention with mouse jiggler.
Yeah. A mouse jiggler, I think you and I talked about this the other day, David, is the mouse jiggler is during the pandemic when people were doing remote work and still are a lot of them, the mouse jiggler was a device that would move your mouse around to make it seem like your keyboard was active to make the impression while you were off doing whatever you were doing in your house that you were at your keyboard being busy. I think mouse jiggler is a great insult to somebody who is no more productive than they're able to jiggle the mouse. Like, all they do at work is basically sit there and be a body. I think it's a great insult, but it apparently is not worth that way, used that way. Work wife or work husband, work spouse.
Yeah,
that
I've heard
one
that
before.
One. Yeah.
Red flag, green flag, signals that good or bad things are coming. Forever chemical, that's more common. And this one, this seems super specialized. Rack.
Whoa.
Reinforced autoclaved aerated concrete.
What?
It's for safety concerns based materials they use in the UK. It's a reinforced concrete that has empty spaces and is often used to make flat roofs on floors and walls. I was surprised they introduced that, but okay, it's, you know, it's England. They're weird. All right, here's some of the other ones. These are ones that they're not are not in, but they're considering. Fast tech. Electronic products that are sold cheaply and meant to be replaced, discarded, leading to e-waste.
So cheap electronics.
Yeah. Digital decay. The gradual process by which information online disappears or becomes inaccessible. Yeah, and, you know, if it's not in print.
Yeah.
And stuff isn't in print anymore. And it's kind of like in 1984. They had to go burn and change the print, but now there's just no print. There's just, you know, edit. Although you do have the Wayback Machine.
Right.
But you got to work to make that, you know, produce what you want out of it. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing any delays either. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Also, 90, 98 are back rolling delay-free. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You said back rolling, and I thought of some person on their back, like, going to, I don't know.
It gave me some image. This computer is my friend, and we get along. And
all right, more words that are in discussion or in consideration by the Cambridge Dictionary. These are not included yet. These are like, and I just thought it's interesting to see what people are applying labels to. My dad always had this theory that you can tell the most about a culture by the words it's missing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gaps in its ability to express an idea. It's kind of like the Alaskans have, you know, whatever, 30 words for snow because snow is so important. And we have the one word and, you know, we have one word for love, which is like 30 different things. And it means all those different things. It's very confusing. Anyway, so you learn a lot about a culture by which words it deems valuable to create and which words it has not even thought of to create because those are kind of gaps in their cognitive framework. Let's see. Brain flossing. I've kind of heard of that. Have you heard of brain flossing? I would think of it as like, you know, cleaning your brain,
right?
You know, relaxing, de-stressing, something like that. A way of relaxing and reducing stress that involves listening through headphones to music and other sounds that have been recorded in such a way that they move around the listener, like in three dimensions with stereo. The concept of brain flossing is 8D audio going left to right, creating a dynamic immersive effect as a literal cleansing of your brain through your ears. Wow. Okay. fine.
Andrew's in the left. Andrew's in the right.
There you go. That's it. Benevolence bump is a period of time after, sometimes like after a catastrophe, where people are kinder and more helpful to each other, like post-COVID, post-9/11, you know, these kinds of things. Thought that was interesting. Let's see. Cardboard box index. A little complicated. It's a way of measuring the health of the economy based on how much cardboard box ordering is happening and shipping. Because when the economy is strong, people are ordering goods and shipping things. And when people are, when the economy is not, or consumer sentiment is down, they don't order as much stuff. So drops in cardboard shipments often precede slowdowns in manufacturing, retail, and e-commerce. Interesting little indicator. I don't know. I'd never heard of that before. Vibe session is a people is a period when people feel the economy is doing badly, even if it's actually doing quite well. You know, the numbers are actually good, but people feel really bad about it. Let's see. Look, I got some here that are not that interesting. Nanoship. It has nothing to do with transportation or cargo.
I was thinking nano.
You and Mork. A very short romantic interaction with someone with no expectation that it will lead to a relationship. So you had a conversation on the plane with somebody and it was, I guess, moderately romantic and you just had a nanoship. I don't know. I'm just telling. NATO dating. Not NATO, like the North American Treaty Organization, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, for not attached to an outcome dating. So it's dating in a way that you're just there for the experience rather than working towards something else like marriage, you know, or cohabitation or something. Let's see. Hood fishing. This is a funny one. The practice of pretending to live in a certain area that's more fashionable in town in your online dating profile in order to attract a higher quality of candidates.
I love that one.
Hood fishing.
Oh, I've got to use that
one. I know.
I went hood fishing today.
Lemonading. It's an approach of dealing with problems or challenges while remaining positive and optimistic, seeing them as opportunities for growth. Like you're making lemonade out of lemons is kind of the idea. Yeah. Let's see, chrono working, adapting your working hours to when you feel most awake and energetic, as opposed to just by some set time. Let's see, nah, that one's boring. Smartphone face, that's how modern people look so clean that if you put modern actors in old-timey period piece movies, they look out of place because they have smartphone face. I don't know, I don't make them up. Eggflation. The index of consumer sentiment about
price of eggs
going up. That's right. Let's see. Oh, this one's actually kind of fun. Burnt toast theory. As a philosopher, I like this one. Burnt toast theory, the idea that a minor inconvenience like burning your toast in the morning, who makes toast in the morning? Anyway, might actually be preventing something worse happening later in the day. Be grateful for the impediment you encounter because maybe that's God looking out for you in the future. You know, hit that light wrong. Stupid person driving slow in front of me. But maybe you missed the accident that never happens because you weren't there. Hmm. Small snags or setbacks like spilling your coffee or waiting in a long line at the gas station derail your day. But burnt toast theory is belief that minor inconveniences can lead to a positive outcome at a later time. Maybe you miss rush hour traffic or maybe you arrive at work just in time to walk into the office with a friend or whatever. Some benefit or avoidance of a pain that comes later. Burnt toast theory. Oh, that was interesting. I've heard of this one, actually. Orange peel theory. That's the idea that you can tell somebody really loves you by their willingness to do, you know, sort of unprompted small acts of kindness like peeling an orange for you.
Okay.
All right, whatever.
I like the food references.
Invisible string theory. Oh, this is actually horrid. You may think it's wonderful, but that's okay. I'll explain why. The idea that two people who are destined to be together are connected by an invisible string that will eventually enable them to find each other through the universe. It's kind of the premise of every rom-com, right? You're destined to be with they're not destined to be with anybody. You can make a marriage with a lot of people. And the notion that there's this one perfect person out there waiting for you, your soulmate or whatever nonsense there is. No. All that leads is to stress. Oh, I might be missing my soulmate. Or, you know, the feeling that I'm with the wrong person because maybe they're not my soulmate. The right person is the person you make a commitment to and then work on having a marriage with. That's the right person. This nonsense about having that right perfect person is crazy, terrible, bad. For relationships, femgore is horror stories focusing on female characters as committing the acts of violence rather than being the victims, because typically women are the victims in horror movies. There was a couple more here. What was the one I was going to share with you? No, man interrupting.
What is
men habitually interrupting men interrupting women? You know, because they think they can, because, you know, they're women and they can interrupt them. Man-terrupting. There you go. Uh-huh. Which also, you've got a new one here. You've heard mansplaining?
Yes.
Right? She elaborating. This is women going on and on and on explaining something.
When you just asked a question that was simple yes or no answer. Yeah.
But she elaborating.
Cough.
So, sorry. I think that's good enough. Here's the digital sobriety. This is a good one. Digital sobriety is people who are giving up technology in order to have a healthier lifestyle instead of being addicted to their phones and scrolling and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, just, I don't know. Those are some of the words that are out there. And I didn't even get it to the one that made it into a legitimate news story, but I will mention it to you and then maybe I'll come back to it a little bit later. But gray sexual.
What? Explain it. You cannot say I'm coming back to that later.
I can't tell you what a gray sexual is. I had never heard this one before.
No.
So a demisexual is somebody who can only form sexual interest in somebody after having a strong emotional bond with them. Okay. Cupiosexual is someone who wants to engage in sexual activity but doesn't actually feel sexual attraction. I have no idea what that means, but I'm literally giving you the definition, okay? And gray sexual is someone who is somewhere between allosexual, that's the word for normal people who are interested in sex and attracted to other people. Asexual is people who are not interested in sex and not attracted to anybody. A gray sexual is somewhere in between. You know, this day maybe I am interested, that day maybe I'm not. They go for weeks without having any interest at all, and then all of a sudden, you know, they really want some, you know, David Lee Roth told us about. So it's not true that everybody wants some. Sometimes people don't want some.
Need that mouse jiggler.
Yeah. what the gray sexuals need is to find a better mouse jiggler. Yeah, that's accurate. nice callback, John. He's got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Everything is looking good on I-10, I-110. If you're on Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile Road, you're going to see some minor delays there. But other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Everybody needs a better mouse jiggler.
I know,
hey,
right?
If you are an employer and you have benefits to deal with for your employees, which is every employer, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR tools, managing payroll, all that kind of stuff. Look, if it's going great and I talk about this stuff and you're like, awesome, I got it. I don't need your help, Andrew. Okay, cool. Great. But if you're like, stop talking about that. Oh, well, call somebody and solve it. Be an adult. Come on. Come along. Talk to Torgerson Consulting. They'll take care of you. They've been taking care of us here at News Radio and Cat Country for about 5 years, 4.5 years, and they're fantastic. Good plans, good alternatives, fantastic customer service. I am a big fan of Torgerson Consulting. 433-9996 or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When it comes to safety, Subarus are all-star performers. In fact, the 2025 Subaru Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback earned top marks with a 5-star overall vehicle score from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And the Subaru Ascent has been an IIHS top safety pick for 8 years running. The Forester has been an IIHS top safety pick for 19 years running. And the Outback has been an IIHS top safety pick for 16 years running. All of which explains why the American Customer Satisfaction Index ranks Subaru number one in safety. Subaru, more of what you value most. Get special low rates on select new vehicles during the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now through September 2nd at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Okay, so it's going to be about $1,200.
Wait, did you even figure out what was wrong?
Well, my guy said something about the flux capacitor. Oh, and we had some extra parts.
Extra parts? That's a no for me.
Don't settle for vague answers and mystery charges. Head to Garage 850 on Sun Valley Drive just off Michigan Avenue. Rusty and his ASE certified crew actually explain what's going on and get it done right. Specials online now at garage850.com.
When you need any job done outdoors, you need Five Star Outdoor Services. They handle it all. Lawn care, landscaping, power washing, concrete, clearing, decks, privacy fencing, you name it, they can do it. With pride in their work and at a price that's right. Five Star Outdoor Services is a local company with your satisfaction their main goal. Dependable, reliable, and affordable. See for yourself. Google Five Star Outdoor Services or check them out on Facebook for all jobs outdoors. Five Star Outdoor Services.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority and happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You're invited to bring a blanket, a lawn chair, and relax and watch the sunset and enjoy your favorite bands. This week, it's Shenanigans. They're not just a band, it's an experience. It's definitely not a show you just go to, it's a show you participate in. So don't miss Shenanigans this Tuesday night at 7 at Bands on the Beach. You'll be dancing and singing along. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Seminole fans, your chance to win tickets to Florida State University home games is coming soon. Right here on News Radio 92.3.
What are you, some kind of nut? Who do you think you are?
Dun, dun, dun! I am Captain Chaos.
Oh, man. Cannonball Run is...
Oh, God, I know.
I love it.
Good old days.
David, do you have a 10-second story for me? Nope, not fair. Completely not fair. It's all right. It's my fault. I jammed you up against the end of the hour. Hey, coming up next hour... we're going to tell you what the local education experts think about AI in the classroom, in college, and so forth.
Listen on air.